You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we are continuing our Advent series. We've been in this series for the past few weeks, and here's what we're doing. We are experiencing the Christmas story through the eyes and the perspective of the different characters that we see depicted in nativity scenes and in the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. And this week, we're going to experience the story through the perspective of the wise men or the magi. And I want to talk to you about hope. Come on, if there's anything that our world could use right about now, it's hope. Anybody out there, you could just use a little bit more hope. Yeah, it's been a rough 2020. I think we're all counting it down like we're ready for a fresh start in 2021. Anybody with me? And you could use a little hope right about now. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, hold that thought for just a moment. I've got a question for you. What is your favorite fast food restaurant? I know you're kind of like, where's Pastor Jeremy going with this? But work with me for just a moment here. What's your favorite fast food restaurant? I know it's not healthy, but this is the guilt-free zone. Come on, we're a church of grace, so we're going to have some fun with this. Tell me in the comments, what's your favorite fast food restaurant? Is it McDonald's? How many of you love those golden fries from McDonald's? Is it a flame-broiled Whopper from Burger King? Maybe it's Chick-fil-A. Where are the Chick-fil-A people at? Come on, y'all know if you've heard me preach before, I don't eat a whole lot of fast food, but Chick-fil-A is my favorite fast food restaurant. It's Christian owned, so you know it's Christian chicken. And when I walk into Chick-fil-A, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying, can I get an amen, somebody? But I was doing some research on this, and the fastest growing fast food chain in the U.S., the fastest growing one for 2020, was New York City's very own Shake Shack. Any Shake Shack fans in the house? Shake Shack last year grew by 36%, and they have about 185 locations. Pretty impressive, right? Well, that's great, but it pales in comparison to the locations that McDonald's has, which is about 14,000 locations. And you know who takes the cake as the number one fast food chain in all of America? That would be Subway with 24,000 locations. Wow, that is an amazing amount of locations to distribute burgers and fries and foot-long subs. I'm always amazed, you know, as a driver across America to see all of the McDonald's, all of the Subways, and to think that all of these locations are distribution centers for food and feeding people. It's just amazing. But guess what entity has more locations than McDonald's and Subway combined? Do you want to know what it is? That would be the church. Yes, that's right, the Church of Jesus Christ. According to research, there are over 300,000 churches in America, churches of all different denominations, all different stripes, all different traditions, but over 300,000 churches in America. And I want you to think of the church this way for just a moment. Think of every church as a distribution center. Imagine every church functioning as a distribution center for hope, for healing, for grace. Come on, we believe that the local church is the hope of the world. We believe, hey, we are the church and we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. Imagine every church grabbing hold of this mission that we are a local distribution center of hope. We're in the hope business. Here's the sad reality, though. The sad reality is that even churches can drift from their mission. Even churches can drift from their calling and their purpose over time. I heard a crazy story recently about a church that had a fried chicken like fellowship dinner. And the dinner was so popular and the chicken was so good that they had to have a second night for this fried chicken dinner. And then it got so popular that the church demanded another night, and the church had to actually start selling the chicken to cover the cost, till eventually they started having these fried chicken dinners that were paid for like every night. And the church was making so much money that it eventually closed down, and the church became a fried chicken restaurant. Isn't that crazy? I know it's so sad, but I know what you're thinking too. That must have been some pretty dang good chicken. Come on, how many of you would have liked to try that chicken? Now, it wasn't church's chicken, by the way. That's a whole different story. But it's just so crazy that this church would drift so far from its mission to go into the chicken business. Like, this church lost sight of the fact that it was called to be a distributor of hope, that's what its purpose was. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we know that this is the mission of the church. As we celebrate Christmas this time of year, we know that this is a season for celebrating the good news that a Savior has been born to us. This is a season of celebrating hope. But sadly, there are many people outside of the church that don't know that the church believes that our message of hope is for everyone. There are plenty of people who think that, oh, that's just for the church members, or that's just for people of faith, or people who believe certain doctrines, or people who give money to the church. There are a lot of people outside of the church that don't know the truth and the reality of the gospel, that this is a message of hope for everyone. Now, speaking of hope for everyone, I want us to take a look at a passage. Before we get back into the Christmas story today, I want us to look at a passage from the Old Testament. And this is the story of the call of Abraham, when God called Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nations. When he called Abraham and he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, the people of Israel. See, God always wanted a people for his own. God always wanted a people that he would reveal himself to, a people who would represent his purposes and his presence in this world. So let's look at this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Here's what it says. The Lord had said to Abram, before his name was Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now watch this phrase. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God comes to Abraham, and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And we know that later on, God would give Abraham a promised land, and he would indeed make him into this great nation of Israel. But God was saying to Abraham, blessing and hope are going to come through you to who? To all peoples. Help me out here. Who was this blessing and hope for? It was for all peoples. How many people? All peoples. Which people on the earth? All peoples. Come on, somebody type it in the comments and help me out today. It was a blessing that was supposed to come to Abraham and overflow to all peoples in this world, all peoples on the earth. Well, that was the mission of God's people. That was the mission of Israel. But sadly, by the time of Jesus's birth, the Israelites, the people of Israel, God's people, had drifted from their mission. They had drifted from their calling, that the blessing of God was to come to them and overflow from their lives to the rest of the world. In fact, by the time of Christ, the Israelites were a conquered people. They were subjects of the Roman Empire. They were a downtrodden, oppressed people. They had become very insulated. And by the time of Christ, Jews didn't even associate with Gentiles. Didn't even associate with them, much less remember that they had a mission to be a light to the Gentiles. And that's exactly why God had to send his one and only son to this world. And so that brings us to our text today. Let's look at the Christmas story from the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to learn something really fascinating about hope as we consider the Magi, or they're traditionally known as the wise men. Now, here's what's happened so far in Matthew chapter 1. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph when he finds out that Mary's pregnant. He says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph takes Mary as his wife, and they travel to Bethlehem, and they give birth to Jesus. And that's where our story picks up in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So this story picks up, and these Magi come and they want to know where Jesus is. They know that he's the king of the Jews. It's fascinating that here are these magi, they recognize that Jesus was born king of the Jews, and they want to honor him. They want to worship him. Now, who were the magi? They're kind of mysterious characters in the whole Christmas story, in the nativity story. Well, the magi were royal astrologers. Some say that they were magicians. They were known as wise men, and they most likely came from Persia or Babylon. The scripture says here in verse 1, it says that the magi came from the east. That points in the direction of Persia or Babylon. Here's the truth. We actually don't know that much about the magi. They're a bit mysterious. We really don't know how many there were. In fact, the traditional number that there were three magi comes from the idea that there were three gifts that were presented to Jesus: gold and myrrh and frankincense. But we really don't know that much about them. Here's what we do know about them from the text. We know that the magi were pagans. They were Gentiles. They were outsiders. They were the kind of people that the Jews would have had very little to do with. There were plenty of scriptures in the Old Testament and in the law and the commandments that forbade Jews from having anything to do with people who were magicians and workers of magic and astrologers, people like the Magi. So here they were. They were outsiders. It was astounding. It's astounding that the Magi are even included in the birth narratives, in the Christmas story. I mean, it's just right there. Matthew just puts it right in there. But any good Jewish, covenant-keeping Jewish person would read this and say, Magi from the East? Oh, those are bad guys. Those are outsiders. But here's what we know, remembering what we just looked at in Genesis. We know that from the very beginning, God's purpose for his people is that his blessing would come upon them, but not just stay with them, but that his blessing would come to the whole world. To how many people? To all peoples. That through his people, the whole world would be blessed. And so this is actually a fulfillment of prophecy. In fact, later on, other prophets would come along and prophesy that the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, the long-awaited King of the Israelites, would actually be a light to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what we see here happening with the Magi. And so this is going to be a short message today. I just want to leave you with two ideas to think about on this day, on this special Christmas at Redemption celebration. And here's the first thing. Here's the first thing we learn from the Magi, these outsiders being included in the story of Christ's birth. Here it is. Christmas means there's hope for everyone. Come on, church, I've got good news for you today. Christmas means there's hope for everyone. If the gospel isn't good news for everyone, then it's not good news for anybody. Come on, it's good news for everyone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels told the shepherds that first Christmas that this was going to be, he was going to be a Savior for all the people, even the Magi, even outsiders, even people who were far away from God. Come on, wherever you are today, wherever you are today, I want you to know this hope is for you. Christmas means there's hope for everyone. The birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus means there's hope for everyone. He's a Savior for everyone. And I know some of you are watching today and you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, you don't know my background. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know how bad I've messed up. You don't understand what I'm facing right now, the mess that is my life. You don't know the sins and the temptations and the addictions that I'm still battling with right now. You don't know how unfaithful I've been as a Christian. No, I want you to know today, I may not know all those details, but here's what I know. Here's what the Christmas story reminds me. We can be sure that this hope is for everyone, that this Savior who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, he's a Savior for everyone. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what your story is. This hope is for everyone. Be encouraged. This hope is for you. Here's another thing we learn from this story. As we look at these magi, these wise men who traveled from the east to come and seek out Jesus, here's the other idea. Christmas reminds us that hope isn't just for us. It's meant to flow through us to the world. Come on, the hope of Jesus Christ was never meant to stop with his people. The hope of Jesus Christ was never meant to stop with those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, those of us who belong to the church. No, his hope was meant to flow through us to the world. If you're joining us today and you're new to church, and maybe somebody shared this broadcast with you and you haven't been to church in years, or maybe you got hurt by a church or you've been turned off by church, come on, I want you to know today that our calling as God's people, this is what what I want you to know about Christians. When we get this thing right, we know that this hope from God isn't just for us. This hope of a Savior isn't just for us. It was meant to overflow from us to the world around us. It's good news for everyone. And so here we are, fast forward 2,000 years later from the birth of Christ, and we find ourselves really facing the same challenge as the Israelites. What was the Israelites' challenge? Their challenge was to remember that God had blessed them, and his blessings weren't just for them. That God had said to their forefather Abraham, "In you all nations of the earth shall be blessed." That they had a mission, that they had a calling, that they had a light that was meant to be shared with the whole world. And in many ways, we have the same challenge to remember that, because as modern day Christians, church people, we can forget. We can forget that God's blessings aren't just for us. You know, we can kind of get in this rhythm sometimes of going to church or watching church and just kind of being there to receive a really good, inspiring message, or to receive a really, you know, great worship experience. And all of that is nice. I'm not saying that's wrong, but we can easily drift toward just thinking that the blessing of God is for us, kind of having this mentality of, "God, what have you done for me lately?" But the Christmas story reminds us that this blessing isn't just for us. God gave it to us so his blessing would overflow through us to the world. His blessing was always meant for his people, but it was always meant that it would overflow from his people to the world. Come on, God gave it to us to put it through us to the world. Let me just tell you, this COVID crisis has really made a lot of us kind of inward focused and insular. You know, we've been cooped up, many of us, and we've been quarantined, and we've been concerned about our health and our finances, and our rhythms have been disrupted. And many of us, we've been cut off from you know, being as relational as we're used to being. And certainly right now we're online together. We're not even gathered together as a church family. And there's a real temptation here. There's a real drift toward kind of, you know, thinking that it's all about me and kind of getting our focus on ourselves. But here's what I want you to know today. Christmas is a great reminder that it's not all about me. It's not all about you. The best thing we can do is get outside of ourselves. Like, somebody around you needs the hope of Christmas. Somebody around you needs you to rediscover this hope and share it with them. Come on, this is the time that the church is needed like never before. When the world gets darker, the church is called to shine brighter. If ever there was a time for us to step up, if ever there was a time for us to embrace our mission and our calling as God's people, right about now, the world could use some hope. Right about now, though, the world could use some Christians who have a no-strings-attached philosophy that understand that the local church is the hope of the world. We're distributors of hope, of healing, of grace. We carry this good news. And so here's my question for you today on this Christmas at Redemption Celebration Special Sunday. Here's what I want you to think about. Who is God calling you to share this hope with? Come on, all around us are people in need. Family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, people in our own immediate family. Who is God calling you to share this hope with this Christmas? You know, the other day, my son Michael was in class online, and Amy and I were sitting on the couch, and he was in a Zoom session, and evidently his class was reading a story about a pastor or a missionary, and the teacher asked the question, "Do you know anybody who's a missionary?" Now, I didn't hear that question because he was on Zoom and had his headphones on, and Amy and I were just sitting on the couch. But I heard Michael pipe up, my 9-year-old son pipe up and say, "Oh, my mom and dad are missionaries. Yeah, we moved from Buffalo to Westchester to plant a church. My mom and dad are actually missionaries." And it touched me to hear my son say that. It touched my heart to hear my 9-year-old son think of his parents as missionaries. How many of you know that sometimes you know who you are, you just need somebody to remind you of who you are? Come on, that day, my son Michael reminded me of my calling. Church, I came to preach to church online today to remind you that Christmas is a great opportunity to be reminded of who you are. Come on, we are missionaries. We're people who are living on mission. We have a purpose. We have a calling, and it stretches back for thousands of years. God's hope, his desire, his initial plan was always to bless his people. When he called Abraham, "In you, all nations of the earth will be blessed." Come on, God wants to give his blessing to us afresh. He wants to give us hope afresh, and so much of it that it overflows from our lives to someone else. He gave it to us to put it through us to someone else. Come on, who is God wanting you to share his hope with this Christmas season? You know, we have an opportunity to give in the Christmas offering this year. We have some amazing projects. You know, we're going to give to invest in our community outreach. All around us, we're serving people. We're feeding the hungry. And we've been building community gardens and finding just different ways to get out and touch our community for free. No strings attached. We're sharing the love of Jesus all around Port Chester, all around Westchester County. You know, just think, through our Christmas offering, we have the chance to touch families in under-resourced nations like Honduras through our partnership with One Child. We get to come along the people in the world who have been the hardest hit by COVID and share the hope of Jesus to help meet basic needs. Imagine somebody, because of this Christmas offering this year, they're going to be blessed. Hope is going to overflow from us to touch their lives. They may never see your face, may never know you. Maybe you'll meet them in heaven one day, but we have a chance to share hope. Through our partnership with One Hope, the amazing organization that's getting God's word into the hands of children all around the world, we have the opportunity to come alongside of them through our Christmas offering and to help get God's word to kids in Southeast Asia and countries that are closed to traditional missions work. But because of our World Without Sickness initiative, we're going to get in there through our partnership with One Hope and teach those kids some basic hygiene skills, but get the best gift we could ever give a child, get the word of God into their hands. Come on, we never know. We never know how we're going to change and impact the lives of those kids by sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with them. Come on, I just came this morning to church to tell you, church online, God doesn't want hope to stop with you and me. God never wanted his blessing to stop with his people. His idea, the idea he always had from the very beginning, is that his blessing would overflow from our lives in you. All nations of the earth will be blessed. That is the message of Christmas. That is what we see play out that very first Christmas. That's the hope that the wise men, that the Magi experienced. And that's the hope that you and I can experience afresh today, and we can allow it to overflow from our lives. Come on, how many of you want that? How many of you say, I really want God to work in my life that way? I really want his hope to come to me afresh in this season. And I want to be the kind of person who's on mission, who's living on purpose, so that God's love can overflow from my life to someone else. Would you pray with me? I want that for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful season that we find ourselves in. We thank you for the hope that we have in your Son, a Savior who came for all people, all the people of the earth. God, we thank you that your heart and that your desire and your plan was always that your blessing would overflow from your people to the world. God, we ask you to remind us of that today. God, I pray that your hope would come to us afresh. Every person watching, every person listening, no matter what their need is, no matter what they're facing, no matter what their difficulty might be, God, I pray that they would know that you're for them, that you're with them. And Lord, for every person who considers themselves to be one of your people, one of your followers, that we would be reminded today that your hope has come to us afresh, so much so that it would overflow from our lives to bless someone else. God, use us in that way. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.